Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Well, there's really only one thing to talk about today. Of course, Donald Trump wins a resounding victory over Kamala Harris in the race for the White House, making him the 47th president of the United States. It's just a pretty incredible 24 hours, but he has claimed victory from earlier this morning.
I want to thank the American people for the extraordinary honor of being elected your 47th president and your 45th president. And every citizen, I will fight for you, for your family and your future. Every single day, I will be fighting for you. And with every breath in my body, I will not rest until we have delivered the strong, safe, and prosperous America that our children deserve and that you deserve. This will truly be the golden age of America. That's what we have to have.
Yeah, there's no question about it. A pretty incredible result for Donald Trump overnight. And where did it go so wrong for the Democrats? I know you've been listening to a lot of, you know, live election results and commentary and analysis over the early hours of this morning. But I'm just interested in talking to you today, to Americans that are living here in the Emerald Isle and to our Irish citizens that are living in the US and what it means for them. If you have family members in any part of the US today, we'd love to hear from you also on the show. It's 1800 453 106. That's the number if you want to join us. You can drop me a voice note or a text. It's 087-1400-106. Robert is with us on the line from Westmeath today. Robert, I believe you're originally from Louisiana. What's your reaction to the result overnight?
Well, I'm delighted, I think. I've been watching this election over the last few months, but I've been watching the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, how they've been battling each other since 2016. You know, we watched Trump come in and we watched, you know, the fiasco that happened during COVID, and then Trump was gone and Joe Biden came in. And I've been watching that play out over the last couple of years. And when I seen Kamala Harris coming in, you know, I said to myself, well, here's a lady that might have a chance at, you know, changing politics and changing the face of politics. You know, a female woman of color coming in for president would have been a positive thing. But unfortunately for her, I think unfortunately for the Democratic Party, Kamala Harris just seemed to be a very empty candidate. You know, she didn't have any great substance behind her. She found it very difficult to deal with the issues. She was campaigning on joy and happiness, and which are all great things, but they don't support a country. They don't stop foreign wars. And I think people have just seen through that. A lot of people in this country aren't Trump supporters. I'm not an avid Trump supporter as such either, but I am I'm a Democrat or a Republican, and I've watched how the Democratic Party have pecked away, you know, at people's livelihoods through mass immigration. And it sort of feels good this morning to know that out of all the people in America, enough people in America have spoken. Because Donald Trump was vilified in 2016 and 2020, and here he is back again. Now, the villain that they say he is, a lot of people must be wrong, because, you know, America...
But he's a convicted felon.
He's not a convicted felon. He's a convicted felon on trumped-up charges that the Democrat Party set him up for. But that doesn't matter to people. You see, if you go down to Louisiana, or you go to New York, or go to New Hampshire, and you speak to ordinary Americans who are trying to live their lives and who get up in the morning very early and knock the ice off their windscreens and try to get to work, these people don't listen to that rubbish. They don't listen to that stuff. All they want to know is that can I afford to live?
So further charges and all of that and sentencing on the 26th of November, it's your view, Robert, that like none of that really mattered to the electorate. Well, none of the electorate, but clearly to the majority of people, that wasn't an issue into the polls.
No. Because look, I think, Kira, the problem is that we have to understand that survival is an issue in this world today. Living, paying your mortgage, paying for food, getting education, you know, having a police force that can protect you, you know, and these are things that Americans are looking at now. And they're saying to themselves, all the other things. I mean, if you look at Kamala Harris's campaign on her very first at the DNC, I knew that Trump was going to win when I watched the RNC. And I've seen the people coming out to speak with them. And I've seen the way that the RNC was going. The DNC came along then. They brought out actors and they brought out singers gyrating on the stage and all this rubbish that was going on. And people from the very beginning, I think they had made their mind up back a year ago. I think I believe that this was just a thing that was people were waiting to vote on. I sat last night and I watched the campaign on three different channels and a live podcast, which had 500,000 streamers on it.
Nice.
And I can tell you without any hesitation, and anybody who listens to this program who knows Robert Mazzell, they'll know that CNN covering the election and Newsmax covering the election or RTE covering the election was three different worlds. It's like they're talking off a different platform.
Right. Okay. So you're happy though overall, Robert, with the result that you heard overnight.
Oh, I'm delighted. Yeah.
Okay. Let me bring in Joe as well, Robert, for a moment. I think we've got Joe in Offaly, but Joe, I believe you're originally from New York. What's your reaction?
I suppose I'm happy, but I've become a bit cynical about the whole thing. I no longer agree with the idea that people's lives are going to be badly affected either way. And I believe the earth will continue to spin on its axis regardless of who wins these elections. I think people have become too dramatic and too emotional. There's a group of people now who think that the world is going to end because Trump got elected and vice versa, perhaps. But none of that is true. But I'm happy with the result nonetheless.
Was it a pro-Trump vote or an anti-Kamala Harris vote?
Oh, I'm going to say a combination of both. I don't live in America anymore, so it's very hard. You really have to be on the ground to get a full understanding of what's going on. I don't think anybody had overwhelming disdain for Kamala. So I don't think it was an anti-Kamala vote, to be honest with you. But she wasn't a very strong candidate, it has to be said.
Looking at some of the analysis, you know, and the stats and the figures, I know there's been a lot of talk about it as well, Joe, earlier today, so I don't want to dwell too much on it. But, you know, things like the borders, things like the economy, things like, as Robert mentioned a few moments ago, you know, the money that people has in their wallet at the end of the week, like, is that ultimately what this election was about?
I would strongly suspect it is. I mean, I'm still in contact with a lot of family and friends in America, and I just cannot believe the prices of groceries and things like that. There used to be a pathway to a middle-class standard of living, a suburban middle-class standard of living. That pathway has been closed for an awful lot of people because of the lack of housing, the price of housing, and the general cost of attaining a middle-class standard of living in a suburban area now is down to a very, unless you're in IT with a very high-paying job, you're out of it.
Paddy Shields is with us, of course, from Democrats Abroad. Paddy's originally North Carolina, now in County Wicklow. How are you feeling today, Paddy?
Well, I'm, you know, still processing. I think the magnitude of the win, you know, it was, you know, as, you know, everything is coming through, it's, you know, everyone thought it was going to be close. To your point earlier, I do think that the economy played a huge role in definitely motivating, you know, voters to Trump as a candidate. And, you know, the one thing I will give, you know, the Republicans and especially Trump is, you know, they are masters of messaging. They are great at the theater of politics, and they certainly turned out their voters on the day. So, you know, I think looking at a landscape where, you know, Republicans are going to control the Senate, obviously the presidency, and most likely the House, as well as the Supreme Court, it kind of remains to be seen. You played that clip of Trump earlier that he is going to be the president for every citizen fighting for, you know, the future of every family.
But Patty, whether or not, you know, whether or not some of that is, you know, the pomp and ceremony and the onstage and the scripting, irrespective of all of that, you know, at a quick look and a quick analysis of some of the breakdown from the polls earlier this morning, like Trump increased his share of the black vote from 5% to 12%. a number of years ago. His support among Latino voters has jumped 18 points. His vote among among other sections as well has also jumped. His support among the young male vote has too increased.
Yeah.
So he's not just standing on stage and preaching and people are buying into that. They're buying into it from every corner now, like.
Yeah, no, it's true. And I think, you know, the male vote, especially, and to your point, African-Americans, Hispanic males really coming out strongly for him, you know, made the difference. He made ground. Looking at the states rolling in, especially the battleground states, you know, he definitely picked up share, you know, versus, you know, his performance last go around. And I think, you know, at the point they called North Carolina last night, I had worked in North Carolina through last Saturday. I was back in the States. And, you know, that was a close one. Obviously, a Democrat won the governor's race there. And, you know, I believed it was a bellwether that, you know, a Democrat won the governor's race there and she wasn't able to perform better, especially outside of the, you know, historical big cities there. So, yeah, it's a difficult day. I'm not a doom and gloom, you know, prospector. So, you know, I believe in the Democratic process. I just think that, you know, the messaging that the Harris campaign ended with obviously was not resonating with voters, you know, especially, you know, on the economic front. And I do, you know, my criticism, you know, of the campaign was that the two big issues, the border and the economy, were questions not well answered through the duration of the campaign. So you can end with a message of hope, but people go in and, you know, it's just past the end of the month. And if, you know, they're dealing with kitchen tables full of bills, that's the mindset they bring into the voting booth.
Yeah. Eric is with us, Paddy, in Galway. Eric, I believe you're originally from California. Did you sit overnight glued to the TV?
I was glued to the TV quite late. And then woke up this morning, was quite disappointed to see that Trump was winning. All right. I know people are always saying that Donald Trump is going to reunify America and he's going to do everything for everyone. But from his first term, I think it's very obvious that he's only in it for himself. Recall from his first term, airplanes that used to refuel in Ramstein Air Base and fly to America were diverted to a golf course in Scotland to refuel at that small airport, forcing the people to stay at his hotel. He is only in this for himself. He does not care about the American public whatsoever. And I'm very disappointed that America is so disillusioned that they couldn't see Trump for his true colors. I think one of the first things you're going to see is that the Department of Justice is going to be ransacked and loyalists are going to be put in. And both the IRS and the Department of Justice are going to be used to punish his enemies. I believe you're also going to see his abandonment of Ukraine, and he's going to hand it to Putin. And then whatever country Putin or Russia wants to attack next, he'll give it to him. I fear he may even pull out of NATO and put all of Europe up to risk. I think it's very bad, not only for America, but very bad for the world. I know his plan to put up tariffs in order to reduce taxes for the rich is fine and dandy anything, but I think they tried doing that in the 1920s before 1930s, and it led to severe inflation. And also don't forget that during his first term, he almost doubled the national debt. So, no, he's not good for America.
People don't, either whether they don't believe that, they don't see it, they don't want to see it, they still like him, they don't care about any of that. Like, it wasn't even that tight of a race, Eric.
Yeah,
I thought we were
going
to be counting for days.
I look at the result, and he won the popular vote, and I have to accept what the American people wanted. But one of the things I didn't like as he was campaigning and such is he made it okay to be racist. And then you see Nazis marching around in town through in rallies and such. And, you know, kind of took America back, morality, a number of years there, if it's okay to be racist now.
Listener here has got in touch to say, I'm so offended to hear people insult the intelligence of the American people. It's an absolute disgrace. It's appalling. Today is a sensational day to be an American. And I am truly proud and encouraged to confirm that democracy is alive and to never underestimate the extraordinary power of the people's vote. This listener has got in contact as well to say it's an inspiring day for not only Americans but mankind, as we can see that power, the power of our vote, can make a huge impact. And when you feel as if your voice will not be heard and just lost in the crowd, you can vote truly. It can help to influence change, history, and democracy is alive and thriving. Fed up Americans voiced their opinions yesterday, and the Irish people should too be inspired. Another listener says, I think Kamala Harris made a huge mistake disappearing for a full month and not giving interviews. The momentum that she'd built up was lost because of that very decision. Another listener says, Harris talking of change yet didn't change anything as vice president. So why are the Irish media making out like American people are thick? They're not. And Lara in Dublin says, for God's sakes, the people know what they're voting for. After all, this is his second term. Dennis is with us on the line today. Dennis, where are you chatting to us from?
Hi, Andrea. I'm chatting from Lakeland, Florida.
Wow. What was your reaction to the results this morning?
I went to bed around 11 o'clock last night, and it seemed there was no path for Kamala Harris. So, as a registered Republican, I'm kind of happy with the result. There's a few. I don't necessarily vote along political lines, but overall, I think the only way something gets done is with a clear sweep of the House, the Senate, and obviously the President.
Yeah. How long are you living stateside, Dennis?
15 years.
Okay. And are you surprised by the extent of the win for Trump?
Absolutely shocked. I mean, I thought it was going to be such a tight race, and I guess the people spoke, you know. I think the mainstream media may have played a factor in turning people off the Harris camp. You know, it may have backfired. But economy and immigration seem to be the two things that the people were most worried about.
Yeah.
So that's probably what did it in the end.
Do you know what? Chatting to some Americans living here, living in Ireland for a number of years, Dennis, in the first part of the show today, you know, and a lot of them made that very point, that really what the majority of people seemed to carry with them when they were casting their ballot was, you know, what time are they getting up in the morning? How much money have they got in their wallet at the end of the week? Can they afford to buy a house? Like, these are just the very simple, but these are the key issues for people when it came to the election.
Yeah, I mean, definitely middle America. That was the deciding factor, I think. This was just a monumental election. I mean, like I said, I don't necessarily vote along party lines. There is a couple of things that were very disappointing in my home state of Florida, which would be more Democrat leaning for the amendments. Would be my position, but they were disappointing. But overall, I think we're on the way to see some change now. Anyway,
how is the result sinking in so far today?
I think everybody's just shocked at how much of a landslide it was.
Not overly surprised that it was Trump, but just the extent of the win.
Yeah, the extent of the win, because we're led to believe it was so tight. I was in a couple of states that were battleground states over the past couple of months, like Georgia, and I was out in Arizona, and overwhelmingly, it was all Trump. I mean, lawn signs, there wasn't a Harris wall sign to be seen. And, that really got me thinking, maybe this could be Trump's election.
And a lot of looking at some of the coverage, the press, the media coverage, not so much here at home, but in the States and European outlets over the past 24 hours, Dennis. And, you know, a lot of the, as we call it, the top line of the story is first ever convicted felon elected US president, you know, in living history. And yet I was talking to people, Americans living in Ireland, as I said, in the past hour today, and a lot of them told me that didn't matter. People just didn't care. Wasn't an issue for them.
It didn't matter because, you know, the inflation, the rate of inflation has just been insane. I mean, going to the grocery shops is the difference in a short span of time. I mean, your groceries have doubled, your gas prices are crazy, and people just had enough, and it just came down to change. I don't think it really mattered who was running. It just came down to they needed a change. And that's why you see it's looking like the House is going to go Republican too. So, I mean, any legislations that were blocked in Trump's last term as president, I mean, they've got a pretty straightforward path now.
Stay with me, Dennis, if you don't mind, for a few moments. I think I've got Suzanne with us on the line as well. Suzanne, you're based in New York State. How are you feeling today?
Andrea, it's almost 17 degrees out at 8 o'clock in the morning. The sun is shining and I am feeling wonderful.
Happy with the result?
Yeah, I am. I'm not surprised by it. I don't feel there's a need to gloat over it or put people's noses in it. The American people spoke. They spoke very loudly and very clearly about how unhappy they are, not only with the economy and the border, because those were the two biggest topics, but there were a lot of Democrats I know that were unhappy about the way President Biden was hidden and then removed, the way Kamala Harris was put in by the Democrat elites, and that was such an undemocratic thing to do. You know, we've had 4 years of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. We had Kamala Harris as the border czar. She admittedly never once went to the border. So had she made a name for herself, either as a prosecutor or as a senator or as a vice president, then she may have had a better chance to win. Unfortunately, for the Democratic Party, this just did not work in their favor.
So is it a case really then, Suzanne, that like, maybe, is it like, but the thing is, I suppose I'm answering my own question. I'm trying to figure out if Donald Trump won the election or if the Democrats lost it, but he did win the popular vote. So like, is it just...
Oh, he did, yeah.
Is it just a case then for a lot of people who maybe are not necessarily Trump or Republican voters or supporters, but they just weren't happy with the Democrats, they weren't happy with their performance over the past number of years, and they didn't want Kamala Harris?
I think all of those are a factor. I mean, Donald Trump came in and spoke about policies. Yes, there was also a lot of name calling. That's not surprising with him. There was a lot of very offensive name calling on the other side as well. I think people liked his policies. They liked how they felt and how they lived when he was president. They're not happy with the economy, with inflation. They're not happy with the global state of affairs, with these wars that are ongoing. They're not happy with what happened at the border. And I think all of it came together into a perfect storm, into an absolute perfect storm. It wasn't about race. It wasn't about gender. It wasn't about any of that. It was about how the American people were feeling and who they thought would be the best candidate to move forward with. And again, it looks as though it will be a clean sweep. So obviously, a lot of people are not feeling good about where they are right now.
Well, like, we're all talking here at home today, Suzanne. And I know you're a regular, you know, listener to the show, and you've got in touch with us many times about different things from New York State. But, you know, a lot of us are talking at home about the surprise and the shock. And yes, we knew it was going to be tight, but nobody expected the run home that Donald Trump has clearly received, you know, in the past 24 hours or so today. And like, a lot of people are quite genuinely shocked. They're shocked at the female support he's got. They're shocked, in some cases, I can tell you from the text here, that women even voted for Trump at all. And I'm just wondering, what have we misread in all of this?
Well, polls, if we haven't learned our lesson about the polls yet, whether it was when Donald Trump won against Hillary Clinton, whether it was the polls for this year, Donald Trump won the popular vote this year and he won the Electoral College. Women voted for him. I have a bachelor's degree in history, of all things. I am a college-educated woman. I work for a pharmaceutical company, and I voted for him. And many of the people I know that I work with voted for him. This wasn't, abortion is not the only thing that we think about. And in fact, going back to the states is really where it belonged. Even Ruth Bader Ginsburg said that Roe v. Wade was not the platform for a constitutional amendment for abortion. So now that abortion is determined by the states, the fact that the Democrats made that their main platform, their main issue, that actually did turn a lot of women off.
Like, yeah, fairly mixed messages, I should say, from listeners here today. Like, Chris has got in contact. He says, I think anybody who voted for Trump has no respect for women or the law of the land. That's a message that's come in from Chris today. Have we Kieran on the line? Kieran, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon. Kieran Staunton here in New York.
Oh, Kieran, you're in New York. I've talked to you many times before, Kieran. What's your reaction to the result?
Well, I think the same as everyone else. A bit of a shock. It wasn't something I had predicted. And as I say, it is what it is. He has won right across the board. There's no question about it. He'd have over 300 delegate votes. Harris will have 220-something. And the Republicans will have the Senate. And it looks like, as a previous speaker said, they'll also have the House. Now, what's interesting is that he doesn't have an agenda, we'll say, and what he's going to do, a legislative agenda, because he never spoke about one. The interesting thing is, I suppose, someone who was involved in immigration for many years here with the Irish and in various communities, is that Hispanic community that he targeted, that he was going to deport 20 million people, mainly Hispanic, back across the border where they came from, is that they've also in the doors for him. That is one of the shocks. Women being the other issue, because he has clearly said he doesn't have any time for whatever they want, and he'll give them what they want, whether they like it or not. And he appointed three anti-choice justices to the Supreme Court. And you run into an era after backstreet abortions if you lived in poor in middle America states.
I remember, Kieran, talking to you a number of years ago as somebody who was a voice, an Irish voice in America, you know, speaking out and talking about the rights of those that were undocumented. What does Trump's presidency mean for them?
Well, in 2016, when he got elected, it was a bit of a scare. And people were saying, well, what's going to happen? And we got a lot of calls from Ireland, a lot of families. We said, people shouldn't panic, and that is the most important thing. I got calls this morning and also from other shows about the investment in Ireland. Just there's an old saying, it is a venial sin to break your election promises. It is a mortal sin to keep them. And I think Trump, like everyone else, will run away the same way as he has in the past. There was no mass raids, which couldn't happen in those days, and those scares of INS agents closing off blocks and showing up with trucks and throwing everyone into them like they did with the Japanese Americans in the internment. That doesn't happen. Regardless of what happens, this president has enough legislative power to pass any legislation he wants, if he wants. Who knows what he wants? I mean, the one thing that you will see this morning, the first thing is that I believe the stock market, when it opens here and shortly, will go crazy upwards, although it had done very well. And as the earlier speaker said, is the whole issue of the economy. As I said to someone the other day, a bag of shopping costs 60 to 80 euros. Now, petrol or gas, they call it here, had dropped it to under $3. That wasn't enough for people. People, if you looked and the polling coming out of various states last night, number one issue was constitutional issues and that. And now they didn't seem to vote on that. The second issue was the women's issues, women's right to have control of their own bodies. And my own point of view is that the legislature and the men who have nothing got to do with how women control their bodies. And yet women voted for him. In many states, and you can see even on the ballots in Florida on those issues. The Hispanic community that he had, I mean, talked about the immigrants eating cats and dogs and all that kind of stuff, and Hispanic community came out in the doors. He's going to lock the border. He's going to support 20 million people. That didn't say to the communities, we must prevent this man coming in. And on all issues, as previous speakers have probably said, is they came home for Trump.
And just an interesting text in here, Kieran, from a listener who's got in contact to say that their son is living in the States and is currently undocumented. What would you say to that family here at home in Ireland today?
I would not, don't worry about him.
Business as usual.
I would say the same thing. I would have said the same thing as if President Harris had been there, President Harris this morning. I would not, and the same thing about investment in Ireland and those big companies, there's a whole, and it sounds great, by the way, it makes it great, we will bring back the companies, we will bring all these companies, that's been going on for years. And people shouldn't get up this morning and say, we must readjust our lives because President Trump has got elected. It doesn't happen.
Okay, well.
The only people that he has said he wants to go after some people that prosecuted or he said persecuted him. The only person that's really going to affect him is that the day he gets into office, he will issue a slew of pardons for himself and many of the people who went to jail who were around him, who lied for him and covered up for himself. He has the right to do that. Anyone can do that. Any president that gets in has a right to pardon whoever they want. It's stricken there in as he can pardon anyone he wants. And any cases that are against him in the federal system, he appoints the prosecutor. You would have the state attorneys or that. The federal prosecutors, U.S. prosecutors, are appointed by him in every region. And they didn't decide what cases they will drop and what cases they prosecute.
Well, it'll be plenty more to chat about and look forward to, Kieran, in the coming weeks. There is no question about that. That's Kieran Staunton. My thanks to Suzanne as well for getting in touch with us from New York State. Dennis there in Florida. It's 10 years since Donald Trump took over the golf course and hotel, of course, in Doonbeg in County Clare. About 300 people employed there locally in the County Clare town as well. And our own reporter, Ellen Butler, has been there around the locality all this week. She's with us on the line. Ellen, what's the mood like in Clare this afternoon?
Good afternoon, Andrea. Yeah, there are plenty of American visitors here in West Clare. Obviously, the American market is absolutely vital to this part of the world. So there's plenty knocking about. I've been chatting to a good few of them. At the moment, I'm here at the Cliffs of Moher, which is an ever-popular spot all year round. And there's no surprise, Andrea. That's the general consensus. There's a few from different sides. I met a couple from Connecticut who are desperately disappointed with the results. Most of the people I've met have probably been pro-Trump. A lot of them say they don't like the man necessarily. They don't agree with his way of doing things or his personality, but they considered him the better of two evils. They think that Harris was just the continuity candidate, that they had a sense of her from the last 4 years, whether that's fair or not, I don't know. But they figured it was business as usual if Harris was elected, and they trusted Trump and his business acumen more.
Well, I know you've been chatting, Ellen, to some of those tourists in Clare today to get their result.
We're very disappointed about it. It's very upsetting. I just think he presents a very poor example to the rest of the world within our country. We can't understand it.
And did you expect it?
We were hopeful that it wouldn't happen, but I'm shocked that she lost the popular vote.
And what do you think it was?
Migration, and that she was a woman of color.
Yeah, is it the states aren't ready for a woman president?
The states don't seem to be ready for a well-educated, logical, international-facing president.
So that's some American tourists that you've been chatting to today, Ellen. What about locals that are employed by the, Trump and Doonbeg?
Yeah, as you mentioned there at the top there, Andrea, 300 people employed by Trump during the summer season. He is the biggest employer in West Clare during the height of the season. The wage bill for next year estimated at about 9 million euros. So he does bring a massive boost to the area. So it's a tricky task to find people in Doonbeg who are willing to say a bad word about him, to be honest. Now, again, they would say they're not necessarily ardent Trump supporters, but they view him as a businessman and deal with him as a businessman and don't, put his politics aside. And look, plenty of your listeners will be from rural villages all across the country and, I suppose, faced with that situation themselves, I suppose they would find it difficult to turn down an economic opportunity like that. So, yeah, that's the general consensus.
That's the story in Doonbeg. Well, Rita McInerney, yeah, who's a Fianna Fáil councillor in Doonbeg, and Claire is with us as well, Ellen. Rita, what's the atmosphere like from your perspective?
I suppose it's one. Good morning, good afternoon, Andrea. Yeah. How are you? I suppose it's one of surprise, really. I suppose there's the feeling that the popular vote would have elsewhere possibly, but weren't sure about how it would pan out. And I suppose the feeling that we could have been looking at a few days of counts and things like that, but that wasn't the case.
No, so are locals there delighted then that you've been chatting to this morning?
I think it doesn't make much difference to us in terms of how we work with the organisation, with Trump Organisation. Our focus is that the resort is a success and that it continues to bring employment and business to the area. They're the fourth owner of the property here in Doonbeg. It was a project that was initiated by the community back in the 1990s as a way to create employment in rural Ireland and have vibrant rural communities. So our priority is to maintain that and to ensure whoever owns the property works with the local community for the benefit of all.
John is with us in Doonbeg as well, Rita. John, are you delighted at the prospect of the American president now?
No, gotcha. I was very happy for it because it kind of guarantees at least we've another 4 years of prosperity in Doonbeg, of success.
And a potential visit, I suppose, as well.
Yeah, the amount of actually extra footfall that this will create, both international and local in Ireland, is going to be good for Doonbeg and the surrounding areas. Your presenter was on there from Kilsamohar. Everywhere around can benefit from tourists because you have golfers that come with their partners or their children or whatever they like days out too. So the whole area of the west coast of Kilkee and Kilsamohar and all, Bunratty, everybody benefits from a success. And it's like, don't just take the small picture, take the big picture. And the big picture is a successful golf course has, as Rita just said earlier, 300 people are getting their Christmas dinners out of him. And in a small scale country and a small little area, that has been very, very happy people. And that's the way I look at it. Like,
yeah, does it make a difference if like obviously the Trump group and organisation own the hotel irrespective of whether or not he's president, but do you see a difference to the footfall and the expenditure in the locality
because sure, if you have an international name like Trump, you have people that will come see what the hotel looks like, and it is as good as maybe if they were visiting America, Trump Towers or any other businesses or hotels he has. Like, that's what you want. You want people to come because of them. Okay, if you had Sheikh or whoever from Egypt or whatever running it, that wouldn't be the same football. You wouldn't have, you know, you need an international name, and we've got it. So we appreciate that part.
There you go. All right, John. Listen, thanks a million for getting in touch. Rita McInerney there, as I said, Fianna Fáil councillor in Doonbeg. Our own Ellen Butler and Kieran Staunton, Suzanne and Dennis as well. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.